It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over. And in, I believe. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it
out
in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Darnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Davis. Oh, my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran the missed field goal back! He ran it back 109 yards! They're not
going to
keep them off the field tonight.
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20. Peterson, the one man to beat at the 5. He is in! Smile, Cam.
Byron waits for the snap into place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
Unity, man. That's what this university represents. Serve, discipline, and believe. Let's go play ball. Let's go.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome into the show. Doug Holton with you, and we are set to talk some more Iron Bowl for the next hour. Glad you're with us. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And we invite you to sit back and listen tonight and enjoy the show as we get you ready for Saturday's Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare Stadium. A big show for you tonight. We've got former players Thomas Bailey, former wide receiver, and Brian Brinsfield with us on the show tonight. And also Coach Fred Riley and Coach Chuck Anderson will join us also. And Stu Donnell will join us in just a second with a very quick tailgating tip for the weekend, and then we'll get right to football on the show. But first of all, let's get you started with some comments from the coach, Hugh Freeze, this week, as we try to do something he talks about a lot, flip the script from a very disappointing performance a week ago.
Now, we've quickly got to turn the page and put that behind us for sure, because we all know what the Iron Bowl means to so many, and you can fix your feelings a whole heck of a lot with a good performance in that game.
Is this team capable of coming back from an embarrassing loss like that and playing their best game, which is what it's going to take to beat Alabama?
Yeah, I don't know yet. Sure hope so.
And we'll probably all find that out together Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Anyhow, we'll get into that a lot tonight. Again, Thomas Bailey, Brian Brinsfield, Coach Chuck Anderson, Coach Fred Riley, all on the show tonight. Right now, want to welcome in quickly Stu Donald of the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu show, and a quick bite, a quick tailgating tip for this weekend. Great to have you with us, Stu.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving and War Eagle, and we certainly had us a turkey last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Hopefully we'll have a little something different this week, but tailgating, we're going to talk about what else on Thanksgiving week, but Thanksgiving leftovers, right? And you can put those together and make them good.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think about this, but save the carcass from the turkey, the bones and everything.
Yeah.
And you want to make stock out of that. You'll take the bones, any leftover meat that's in it, that's fine too. Put it in a pot, fill it up with water, plenty of salt, a little garlic if you've got some vegetables, onion, celery, carrots are perfect, mirepoix. Boil it down for a while and make you a good stock, and then use that stock to make turkey gumbo.
Mm.
Now, gumbo, a lot of people think of gumbo as being a seafood dish. Originally, it was not. That is a new invention. It was originally made with game birds in Africa, were the main protein. And then, and you get into Louisiana, you've got your hunter's gumbo, which is usually made with duck, which is delicious duck and either a sausage or I like to use venison sausage when I do it. Hall's Sausage Company makes a venison and pork sausage. Fantastic pork.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But just make your basic gumbo however you like to make it. Use the turkey stock and throw some turkey in there as well.
Yeah. And we're getting to that time of year when gumbo is good. The weather's cooling off a little bit anyway. Well, Stu, appreciate you being with us on a quick version this week, and we're going to try some of that gumbo. I know your places are open this week, the Mac and Cheesery, and we can catch your show on Sunday, as always.
Absolutely. Gobble, gobble, and War Eagle.
All right. And for those of you who aren't making your own gumbo this weekend, we want to invite you out to a very special place to watch the ball game this weekend, Saturday, and that is Nixon's in Midtown Mobile. We've talked about it all season long, and what better place to go this weekend after Thanksgiving? You want to get out of the house, watch the ball game, go to Nixon's in Midtown Mobile this weekend. 8 Megatron TVs to watch and enjoy the ball game on, the Iron Bowl, and all the other games this weekend. And they have 21 beers on tap, 8 wines for you on tap right there, and the best food in town, absolutely. As I've said all season, started off with a quesadilla. You can get chicken, beef, shrimp, whatever you want, vegetables. And then they have some of the best seared tuna around. They have the tie wraps with shrimp or chicken. They have great sandwiches like the Nixon's, the meatball sandwich, the pulled pork, whatever you want to get, the grilled cheese, the adult grilled cheese, really would be great this weekend. Go by and see JT and the great staff at Nixon's this weekend. You'll enjoy the game. You'll enjoy yourself and your friends and family as well. Nixon's in Midtown Mobile. When we come back, we'll kick off the Iron Bowl talk right here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us. Back in just a minute.
This is Head Coach Hugh Freeze. You're listening to Tiger Talk Overtime on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night as we get you ready for the Iron Bowl coming up Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. A couple of former Tigers here to join us to talk about it. First of all, Brian Brensfield, welcome back to the show, Brian, and happy Thanksgiving.
War Eagle, Doug. Thanks.
Also, Thomas Bailey, former Auburn Tiger wide receiver. Thomas joining us from Charlotte, North Carolina. Thomas, thanks for being here and happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. It's my pleasure.
Let's talk quickly. We don't want to spend too much time on it, but a little bit of time on last week against New Mexico State and the Auburn Tigers and what exactly happened in that ball game. Brian, I know you were a little heated after the game, had some comments about that one. I think a number of former Auburn Tiger players had the same feeling. Tell me a little bit about what you're thinking a few days removed from that.
I've calmed down. I guess, you know, and that's the first time I've been probably critical of, hey, you know, what's going on with the coaching. That's the first time I've been critical in a long time. Cause I mean, Thomas, you can talk about to this better than I can, but you know, the preparation and it takes a lot and it just didn't seem like it was there. It seemed like the stadium was flat, the guys were flat, the coaches were flat, and we played New Mexico State, I think, TB, when in like 92 or something, 91, yeah. 92.
And, 92.
Yeah, and those teams, yeah, it's hard to get up for them, I think, but there's no excuse for getting beat by 20-something points.
No, I feel the same way, Brian. It was hard to watch. but you know, I'm gonna always be a Tiger fan and an Auburn Tiger. However, I just think that for the most part, I just feel that the players were getting up for the Iron Bowl and just disregarded New Mexico State, and we paid over $1 million for them to come in and beat us at home. So I just going into 24, I just hope that the Auburn Tigers will take more pride in defending Jordan Hare. We have great fans, great student section. So I just think if we can take care of our business at home, that would be huge going into 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one thing that Coach Freeze brought up at his press conference this week is not only the game, but the recruiting aspect of what's going to happen Saturday with a lot of players in the stands and some of the players that are there now saying that what brought them to Auburn was when they came to the Iron Bowl and they saw the Auburn family and they saw the atmosphere in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Do you remember, Thomas, being recruited and what brought you to Auburn?
Yes, actually, I was recruited in 19—I graduated in 1990, and 89 was the year that Auburn played Alabama the first time in Jordan-Hare, and I remember going to that game and watching the game, watching Herbert Casey and Reggie Slack and Alexander Wright, and that was the reason why I chose number 18. Just watching those guys and Greg Taylor play at Jordan-Hare, that was the reason why I wanted to go to Auburn. The atmosphere, the fans, just it was exciting to watch, especially being there the first time that Alabama played in Jordan-Hare in 1989. So it was always good to watch that.
It was an exciting time. Brian, you mentioned New Mexico State when you guys were in school playing. How does a situation like last week, how does that happen, do you think? What happens during the week, or what flips the switch from winning, although they weren't big wins over great teams, but three wins in a row to doing what we did last week? How does that happen?
Yeah, I hate to put thoughts or put words or in the players or coaches, you know, mouths. I'm not there, and so I really don't know. But all I can think of is, like Thomas said, you've got a huge, huge game coming up Saturday, and you got bowl eligible the week before, and that's something I never thought that I would be, really rooting for, is for Auburn to be bowl eligible. When Thomas and I were there, you know, coming off the late 80s, we won three SEC titles in a row. And I've talked about this before. I thought during my 4 years, I'd probably play for an SEC title and maybe a national title. And so, being excited to be bowl eligible is not something that I ever thought that we would be. But I think that they got bowl eligible and have a huge game against their arch rival at Jordan-Hare on Saturday. So maybe Thomas is right. Those games are hard to get up for in the best of circumstances. But maybe it was just a perfect storm.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I think the script kind of flipped, to use one of Coach Freeze's terms, in the middle of the season. I think we went down a notch to saying that bowl eligible was going to be a good season for his first year at Auburn. I don't think that was the goal heading into the season, but Thomas, I wanted to ask you about a big topic of conversation this season, and that is the receiving core. And that's one of the groups that I think has not performed up to maybe what Coach Freeze thought they would and the coaching staff thought they would. What do you see in these guys? Some of the guys that are performing, some of the guys that aren't performing like they thought, we thought they would. What do you see as the good side and the bad side of that?
Well, with me not being at the practices, it starts at practice. But me not being there, I'm not sure. I can just see that, leadership is huge. And for me, I don't see one receiver that's standing out. And we have some great talent, but I'm not seeing a receiver that stands out and is displaying leadership on the field. We can get 4 and 5 star receivers, and it doesn't matter if, you know, we need a quarterback to be able to throw the ball to them, and we need receivers that's going to step up in small game or big games and catch the ball. So I think leadership starts, and I think that's one of the huge disconnects that we don't have is great leadership. We need more leadership on the field, and hopefully we can get that. I never thought just being bowl eligible would be something to get excited about. It is getting, you know, to get excited, but at the same time, it would have been perfect had we took care of business, and then going into the Iron Bowl this week, it would have been a great test for Auburn. And I feel that if we would have kept that momentum, and I still think we can pull it off, but it would have been a bigger notch in our belt had we had won this game this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of more people would be excited to travel, I think, had we won last weekend and maybe pulled off the Iron Bowl for a bowl game trip. But one of the things I was asking you a minute ago before we came on the air is about the receiving core and sitting in the stands last Saturday a little bit. I went back and looked at the touchdown that we threw to Rivaldo, Peyton Thorne to Rivaldo, and I froze it right before he caught the ball. And I was thinking about Coach Freeze's comments about the receivers aren't running hard and they're not getting open. And I froze that video, and all four of the receivers were open. So I was a little, and I saw that sitting in the stand Saturday. I see some receivers running open, but I don't think we're getting them the football is what I see as the problem. What do you think?
I agree with that. And I don't want to put all the blame on, you know, our quarterback play. He needs some time to throw. And I think it's a snowball effect when you're feeling pressure to throw the ball, or you're not trusting your reads or whatnot. So it's a team sport. And I think going into 24 or the bowl game, if that's what we're talking about, I think we need to start playing together as a team. We have talent. Coach Freeze has done a great job recruiting. But it's a team sport. And I just like to see Auburn come together more as a team and finish and play a complete game. And I would like to see that with coming up with the Iron Bowl.
Yeah. Interesting dynamic with all that goes on in college football now with NIL and everything that we have right now. But Brian, you were about to say something, but I was going to ask you, kind of moving on to the Iron Bowl this week. And as we get into Thanksgiving week and what you guys went through at Auburn in the early 90s, I have a feeling, and I think we've talked about it before, but what are your favorite memories? Is there not so much a game, but is there a specific play or event that happened Iron Bowl week or during the Iron Bowl that you remember most of all?
Well, I think Thomas and I both played in 4, and I would be hard pressed to say that you know, the 93 game at Auburn would you know, and Patrick throwing the pass up to Frank and Frank going up and getting it, but you know, that stands out, of course, but there were so many plays in that game and then in other games. I mean, we were doing pretty good up until halftime in the 92 ball game and 92. And I hate to say, you know, we're talking about Auburn struggling right now in 91 and 92. Thomas and I were on a team that only won 5 ball games each year. Right. So, you know, it is hard to do. It's hard to win in the SEC. And I'll say that, but it can be done. And then we turn around and we're on arguably one of the best teams that Auburn's ever had. But as far as the Iron Bowl, I think, you know, we were hanging with Alabama in 92 until I think Antonio took that one up the sideline.
Yeah.
Right before half or right after halftime. I can't remember. I think it may be right before half. But, you know, going back to what Thomas said, we, you know, in the receivers, I was watching the Florida game the other day, the 93 Florida game in Auburn. And there wasn't a play that I don't think that Thomas or Frank or Sean didn't think that they weren't going to get the ball. And if they got the ball, what they were going to do after. And I think it's a mentality we're lacking of, do I want the ball? Frank and Thomas and Sean and Hicks and all these guys, they wanted the football every play, and they didn't go back and complain if they didn't get it. But, man, I'm sure they got in Stan's ear and Patrick's ear and said, man, I'm open. I'm open on this one. I want it. I want to make the play. So that's the leadership that I think Thomas is talking about from the receiving core. And watching the 94 game, I went back and watched the 94 game in Florida, and Thomas had a great game in that game. And we had some big, big catches. Thomas had a big catch in the end of the ball game going down to score. Willie had a great catch on the sideline, right before the score, and then Frank in the end zone. So, going back to the receiving play, I just think that it's a mentality, and it might be a mentality all the way across the board, from the offensive line to the receivers, to the linebackers, to the long snappers, and to the kickers, and to the punters. Listen, you're talking to one of the guys who and I've told Doug this, and I've told the radio audience this. Thomas was led the country in receiving yard or return yards 1 or 2 years in maybe 92 and 93. Maybe I've got those years wrong, but you're talking about one of the best return guys in SEC history right here. And that's part of the game too, the special teams. Coach Dodd talked about it. That's the third part of the game. And you got to be sound, and you got to be dynamic in all three phases. So,
Brian Brinsfield and Thomas Bailey, two former Auburn Tigers, with us on Thursday night as we get you ready for the Iron Bowl on Tiger Talk Overtime. And we'll be back to ask Thomas Bailey about his favorite memories of the Iron Bowl and much more as we continue in just a moment on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Two very special guests with us on a Thursday night as we get you ready for Thanksgiving and the Iron Bowl coming up this Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Thomas Bailey, former Auburn Tiger receiver, and Brian Brinsfield, a former long snapper in the early 90s. Both players playing in the same time frame there. And Thomas, we were about to get your favorite memory from the Iron Bowl, and probably no big surprise.
Yeah, one of my biggest memories of the Iron Bowl was in 93 when we played at Jordan-Hare, and when Stan went down and was hurt, and just looking at Patrick Nix, his eyes really big, getting ready to go in the game, grabbing his helmet. In fact, he couldn't find his helmet.
Yeah. Was he nervous?
Yes, he was nervous, but I've always messed with Pat, even, just always joked with him. And I just love how his demeanor, he knew he was going to make a play.
Right.
Frank knew he was going to make a play. And like Frank's, like Brian said, we were all wanting the ball.
Yeah.
So when Frank's number was called, He was thankfully he was ready and he made that play. So that was my biggest memory of the Iron Bowl, was, just watching Patrick Nix's eyes get big when it was time to go into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big game to go into, get pushed into. So, and he did a great job.
Fourth down. Pretty big. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that,
Yeah.
What, Thomas, what about special teams? Tell us a little bit about that. When you were playing a lot, I think a lot of people remember that about you. What made that such a big part of your game, and how did you do that?
Well, to be honest with you, the biggest part of that was being scared. when you're the only man back there to return a punt, and you have 85,000 set of eyes on you, and people running down to come and take your head off. I think that was one of the biggest factors for me, is just knowing that I can call signal fair catch. And I was halfway scared most of the times when I was back there. So, but no, to be all serious, Coach Kelly, I remember Coach Kelly, who's now with the Colorado Buffaloes, their team. He did a great job of special teams. Brian was part of the special teams. And I think that we took pride in our special team play, even if it was just covering a kick. And I think Brian was one of the best deep snappers you can ever that was in the SEC. And people laugh about that, but Brian, that position was critical, very critical, his position was. So, and I think we all just accepted our role, and we just took it in and didn't have nothing to lose and just wanted to go out there and just embarrass people. So, mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'll say this about, Thomas won't say it, but he's talking about taking his head off. He actually, he broke his jaw. Had his jaw wired shut. And I remember walking into the cafeteria one day, and he's drinking his meal out of a straw. So not only was he scared, but that did happen. I mean, and it never showed that he was scared, but that did happen. And I can't imagine. I covered him. We didn't do a lot of live coverage punts in practice, but you know, we would cover the punt, make sure we were sound and cross the field, and then Thomas would go. And when Thomas went, he went, and he didn't stop until he got to the end zone. And I think that helped in practice.
Oh yeah,
you know, but it, that's hard to do, is stand back there and catch a punt and with 11 guys coming down at you, 85,000 people looking at you.
And Thomas mentioned you, Brian, as a long snapper. And that kind of jogged my memory. And I don't know why, but I have this gut feeling or this vision about the Iron Bowl this year. And it has a lot to do with Alex McPherson, who I think is one of our best players. Just talk about the field goal team a little bit and his play this year. He made another long field goal Saturday. And maybe what a big part of this game he could be this weekend.
Yeah, when you have – we had Scott Etheridge. And when Scott went out there, he may have been blind as a bat and may not be able to see, have been able to see the goalpost. But you know, when he lined up, we had faith. Again, it goes back to the faith that Thomas talked about, and that everybody was going to do their job. You know, I tried to do the best I could to put the ball in the holder's hands, and Sean or Patrick Sullivan or Sean Carter or Clay Helton, who was our holder for 2 years. You know, they did the best job they could to put it down. And then, you know, Scott would come in and hit it clean. And I think we've got one of the best kickers in the country. And listen, if it comes down, and I hate to say this, but so does Alabama. So it could come down to a kicker situation that they talk about on ESPN. A kicker situation, but I have all the faith in the world in our battery, the snapper, the holder, and the kick, to make those kicks and to keep us in a ball game, a close ball game. And if we don't score, we need those points. We need those 3 points.
No question about it.
I think we need a takeaway from our defense and score on defense. And I think we need a special team score.
Yeah.
To help beat Alabama.
We'll be back with more with Brian Brinsfield and Thomas Bailey on our Iron Bowl preview here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Stay with us on a Thursday night. We'll be back in just a minute. I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. All right, back on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report and getting you set for the Iron Bowl this weekend with Thomas Bailey and Brian Brinsfield, two Auburn Tigers. And Brian, we got your thoughts on the keys to victory a little bit there. And Thomas, how about it? How do you see the Tigers pulling this one out Saturday?
I think the keys to an Auburn victory is play like we did. Not saying blow them out like we did Arkansas, but I feel like we played, we were having fun against Arkansas. And it showed. Players were smiling. I think that's the key to beating Alabama. Alabama is very beatable this year, especially we have an advantage. We're going to be playing in Jordan-Hare. I have no doubt that, you know, if I was on this Auburn team right now, knowing how Alabama has been playing this year, that I would have no doubt that we could beat them.
Right.
And I just hope each player on Auburn's football team right now will go in there with this same attitude. It's going to be a huge game. Going to have a lot of good recruits, people to help contribute to the Auburn football program. And we just need to turn it around. And just this one game could turn the whole season around.
Right.
It would be huge if we can beat, or when we beat Alabama next Saturday, it'd be huge. So I'm just hoping that people, the players at Auburn and the staff can go in this this week with that attitude and that mindset, and anything's possible.
Yeah. Brian, what do you think?
Well, I just think going back to last year and what we did in the Iron Bowl, you know, what Cadillac – was it last year? Yeah, what Cadillac did leading up to that game and his energy in the game. And listen, there's a lot of great stadiums. In the SEC and around the country, we have the best home field advantage, I think, in the country. We have the best fans. They care. They're not going to leave. For the majority of them, they're not going to leave no matter what until the end of the game. And Thomas and I both played in this atmosphere. And it's when it gets loud in Jordan-Hare, you can't hear.
Right.
And it's deafening. And we need that from our fans. We need the players. The players, I think, have got to believe they can win, period. They've got to go on the field, walk on the field, and go, we can beat this Alabama team. I don't care who Nick Saban is. I don't care who their quarterback is. I don't care what their defense looks like. We can beat them. And I think it's, you know, if they have that belief, they may get beat on some plays, but let's forget that play and come back and play the next one.
Yeah. Fantastic, guys. Appreciate you being with us. Before I let you get away, Brian, quickly, happy Thanksgiving. And what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner?
Stuffing and I guess chocolate cake. We always have chocolate cake at the Brinsfield family. I don't know why, we just do. my dad, I want to say this, my dad suffered a stroke on Wednesday and he's doing a little bit better. So I appreciate all the people thinking about him and praying for him. Thank God we've got family he's here and we've got family to celebrate Thanksgiving with. And that's something to be incredibly thankful for. So
yep.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too. And you as well, TB.
And you've got the Auburn family thinking about you as well. I've been thinking about you this week, Brian. Thomas, quickly, Thanksgiving dinner, what do you like?
I like the old traditional turkey and stuffing, and I like just the fact of being around the family and having an opportunity just to be thankful for all the blessings that, you know, we have, that I had throughout the year. So that's my Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah, mine too. Let me ask this, and I know you got to go, but Thomas, we played, I want to say, on Thanksgiving, maybe in 91 and 92, and that wasn't a bad time to play football. People were
no, it wasn't. I remember
Yeah, and we didn't get to go home with our families, but we knew that was going to be the game that people were going to be watching while they sat around the table. So
absolutely,
you know, that was a fun memory to me.
Yeah. Yep.
On Thanksgiving.
Well, guys, happy Thanksgiving, enjoy the ball game this weekend, and a big War Eagle.
War Eagle.
All right, great to visit with Brian and Thomas. Hope you enjoyed that. And we have one final segment to get you ready for the Iron Bowl, the 2023 edition, coming up this weekend. And, of course, you can hear the ball game right here on FM Talk 106.5. It's a 2:30 kick this weekend with the pregame starting at 11:30 in the morning right here. Again, FM Talk 106.5. All right, when we come back, we're going to get the coach's perspective, a couple of guys that have been involved in the game, seen this game for many, many years. Coach Fred Riley and Coach Chuck Anderson join us to discuss the Iron Bowl, Auburn, and Alabama when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime. Stay right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Time to talk a little more Iron Bowl, and joining us, as we mentioned, on the line, a couple of former coaches in our area, Coach Fred Riley of the Unblocked podcast, and also Coach Chuck Anderson, two guys that have been around the game quite a bit, been around the Auburn-Alabama game quite a bit. And guys, welcome into the show. Happy Thanksgiving. Chuck, good to see you down there at the coast.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful down here at Orange Beach. We're getting some rain now, so we needed it bad, so I'm glad we got some rain.
Hey, Chuck, tell me, first of all, let's talk about, I know you're heading up to the game this week.
Sure.
And that's going to be, a lot of people are saying that's going to be a big factor in the ball game. What kind of crowd shows up, how involved the crowd is, and how the recruits, you know, talk about the crowd in Jordan-Hare, and that influences their decision to go maybe to play at Auburn. What do you sense this week about the Auburn crowd?
Well, you know, the Auburn-Alabama game speaks for itself. I mean, Auburn's going to get excited to play Alabama, and Alabama's going to get excited to play Auburn. You know, they're going to show up. The crowd's going to show up on Saturday. They're going to be enthusiastic, and the type of effort and the way the ball game plays out will depend on how long they stay enthusiastic and excited. So, you know, Auburn's going to have to bring the juice from a football standpoint to keep the crowd in it. If they do that, I think the crowd will be electric all night long, and we can see some good things happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, let's talk about last week. We were just talking a minute or two off the air about it, but, last week, not the best of weeks for the Auburn Tigers, as New Mexico State came in and took care of business there. Maybe a lot of people are saying the worst performance in Auburn history, but, what do you think happened there, and how do they flip that switch back on again?
Well, you know, the one thing we were talking about was, again, how good football coach Jerry Kill is. And before the game, you know, I sent out a tweet, you know, that Jerry Kill is a heck of a football coach, and the Auburn folks are going to find that out here in just a little bit. Now, I wasn't predicting New Mexico State was going to win the game, but I felt like by the end of the day, they would say, yeah, that's a well-coached football team. You know, we really don't need to be scheduling them. And we need to be getting UT Chattanooga or Samford or, you know, an Alabama A&M, Alabama State, keeping the money in-house, North Alabama, somebody keeping it in the state. And, you know, and everything is from New Mexico State standpoint, you did everything that you needed to do to win a game like that. You didn't turn the ball over. You stole a possession on a fake punt. You didn't give up any big plays and made the other team drive it. And they snapped it with one on the 42nd clock every time and shortened the game. So their game plan was masterful. And the execution of the plan was masterful. From the Auburn standpoint, the only, you know, question I had was really – the only time I stood up and yelled at the TV was when we ran a cover zero blitz on third and goal from the 17 and – as opposed to just to lining up along the goal in goal line and saying, throw it underneath. We're going to tackle you, kick a field goal or go forward on fourth down. Because a field goal right there just takes the game to 13-7. And you still feel like, hey, you're going, as ugly as this is, you're going to win the game 14-13 or 21-13 and get out of here and start talking Iron Bowl immediately. That play changed the whole football game and really just drained the energy out of the stadium and out of the team, it appeared to me. So how do you get it back? Well, again, I can promise you this. Where are you at, Chuck? Orange Beach?
Yep.
So I can promise you this. Chuck Anderson is fired up about the Iron Bowl in Orange Beach. If Chuck, so I will promise you that every guy in orange and blue in that building is fired up about this football game and will play their guts out. And they will coach their guts out. Now, does that mean they're going to win? No, but Auburn's always been very accepting of a team that will play their guts out, that will play hard. They're that kind of family. But just you can't, you know, like Coach Dyke told Coach Tubbable years ago, you can't just go out there and lay down. You know, you got to play. And I think they'll play without a doubt.
If you're any kind of man whatsoever, after the performance we put out last week, they'll come back. And I'm sure Coach Freeze has questioned that manhood. And I'm sure each position coach has questioned that. And we'll find out what we're made of this week. And from a fan standpoint, the same thing. I mean, everybody in the stands last week was a little nonchalant about the whole ball game. So, you know, maybe we didn't do our job as a group of fans in the stands to bring that level of enthusiasm. About half the student body section was full. You know, a lot of people were not in their seats for that ball game. So I guess we just assumed we were going to win. When you assume you're going to win in college football nowadays, you can get beat by anybody.
The recipe to beat Alabama for the last dozen years has been the quarterback plays the game of his life. I mean, and from whoever beats them, their quarterback plays the game of his life, and you end up with some cheap touchdown in special teams or a trick play or something that sort of just gets them off balance. But you go and follow it. You know, the Texas kid, he ain't played one game as good as the one as he played against Alabama this year. I mean, he played the game of his life.
Yeah.
And you go all the way back to Johnny Manziel or Joe Burrow or whomever over the years, Nick Marshall, Cam Newton. I mean, the games of their lives. And that's the recipe. And for us to win the game, Peyton Thorne's got to play the game of his life. I mean, you can't hide your quarterback against Alabama. They will find him in a hurry in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Chuck, do you see any weakness that Auburn can take advantage of as far as Alabama? They seem to be getting better and better the last few weeks, and you don't see a lot of weaknesses in their armor, so to speak.
I'm going to say this, and this is not being critical. This isn't being a homer. This isn't being, picking on the officials. But if the officials let Alabama's defensive backs manhandle the receivers like they do in a lot of games, you know, some games they call it, some games they don't. Alabama plays real physical with their corners.
Yeah.
If they're allowed to manhandle our receivers, we don't have a chance. If we get some calls early and you know, we can get a little bit of separation and like Fred said, Peyton Thorne has a really good game. We've got a little bit of a chance, but the officials will make a big difference in this ball game Saturday. And after the way the officiating went last Saturday, maybe we'll get a break this week.
Fred, if you had to pick out one thing this weekend that Auburn could take advantage of, do you see anything out there as far as Alabama?
You know, I still think that, you know, anytime I've ever been in a game like this where you knew you the New Mexico State recipe is a pretty good one. I mean, you run the ball, you run the ball on third down, so the clock is still running if you're punting it. I mean, every second matters in the course of the game. You run the play clock down to 1 second. In times that the clock stops when you go out of bounds, and that those windows of times, stay in bounds. Mm. I mean, you know, just get it to the fourth quarter where you have a chance. And then the fourth quarter, you have a chance. Then the folks in orange and blue, it's so loud. Now, all of a sudden, Alabama's getting procedure penalties on offense because they can't hear, and it takes them out of some of their check packages. But that's to me, is the what New Mexico State did to us, we have to do to them. And basically follow it, because New Mexico State's quarterback played pretty good, too. I mean, that kid played his heart out now. Yep. So I reverse, turn the movie the opposite direction and find a way to win the game, the Jerry Kill method.
Yeah. And take your cracks where you can. And I don't know. I have a gut feeling about Alex McPherson that maybe he might play a role in this game and Auburn kicking some field goals. But guys, appreciate you being with us to talk about the ball game. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great weekend and War Eagle.
War Eagle, and everyone have a great Thanksgiving.
Coach Fred Riley and Coach Chuck Anderson joining us to talk about Iron Bowl 2023. And that is about all the time we have for the show tonight. Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us. Hope you enjoyed the show. And don't forget to join us this weekend for the ball game right here on FM Talk 106.5. 2:30 is the kickoff and 11:30 for the pregame right here on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks again to all our great sponsors who've been with us all season long. And we'll see you again next week for the recap, everybody. Enjoy the Iron Bowl. And until next week, War Eagle. We'll see you soon.